This moment is actually an opportunity. That's how you have to look at it right now, because impeachment ultimately will destroy the left. It will destroy liberals. It will cement new opportunities for every conservative right now and for this country. The Democrats are too dumb to see how they'll ultimately hurt themselves and the country along the way. But, you know, they've never understood how to guard against real Americans. Because even in this moment, with President Trump already out of office, they're just so obsessed with him and so scared of him that while they pretend to want unity, the truth is they only want revenge, which is how we know impeachment is not about unity. Impeachment is about submission. It's about destroying the other side so that there's only one way of thinking. Impeachment is designed to squash any attempt by conservatives to continue promoting our values, including our appreciation for the importance of family, our belief in economic independence, our belief in hard work, our belief in fairness, and our appreciation for freedom and for capitalism. They want to control the world. They want to decide what we can and cannot do, say, think, or even earn. They want to leave us begging for crumbs, crumbs from them. The intent is to create a dependent society with only one governing body, the Democrat Party. Well, good luck with that. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. This is the Trish Intel Show. And Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, they're out there talking about unity. I guarantee you, they do not want it. They're playing a different game, a game that will cost them and their party, but they're only about the here and now, right? Kind of like the stimulus spending, which we'll get to. Anyway, this impeachment that's coming down the pike here this week, it really is about destroying the beliefs and the values of 74 million people. In 2 weeks' time, a rabid team of leftist politicians, they're going to put the former president of the United States of America on trial, and they have one objective and one objective only: destroy the Republican Party. Unity, as they see it, unity means be united with us. We will destroy you if you're not. So you know what? I don't think that works. I think that actually backfires in a massive, massive way. And it unites those of us that have beliefs in freedom, in fairness, in independence, in hard work, in capitalism. It unites us, right? Because now you have somebody trying to say, either you act like we want you to, you submit, right? Or we will destroy. It is my belief that holding this impeachment trial in the Senate will fundamentally hurt the Democrats and will hurt President Biden. He's out there, you know, from his standpoint. Again, let me just say, this wouldn't be happening if he didn't sanction it. So the fact that he's staying mum on this and like, oh, you know, his press person is like, well, he's not a senator, so he doesn't have a say in this. Give me a break. Give me a break. He's head of the Democrat Party. He knows exactly what he's doing. But he's making a bad choice for himself and his party because he wants to put forward the 100-day agenda. Let me tell you, Americans, we are pretty forgiving people so long as you produce results, right? We want to get the job done. Well, he's got his 100-day agenda, and all he is going to do is put us further and further into debt, make us further dependent on the federal government. But what they're trying to do in a way is make us dependent on the federal government, you know, so our lives are a little bit better, not a whole lot better, a little bit better enough that you'll go and vote for them again. I mean, this is like Venezuela style. I'm telling you, Venezuela, you know, they send boxes of food to families in these poor communities every week or every 2 weeks. And you get the food so long as you sign the petition basically saying you'll support the regime. Well, this is what this is going to be. You know, we take care of you. You take care of us. Sign up. Promise that you'll vote Democrat again. So I don't like the idea of keeping people in that very dependent position, but that's what they're going to do. Anyway, he's trying to get this 100-day agenda. Do you think anybody's going to talk about policy or the agenda? No, maybe that's the method to their madness, right? Maybe they just don't want us to think about actually meaningful stuff because they want Trump to suck all the oxygen out of the room. He will get all the media attention. It's like the media doesn't know what to do right now without him. I saw one of the CNN commentators saying something about how his wife said, wow, it's been such a quiet news cycle. I'm like, are you kidding me? I feel like the news cycle has been on steroids. Me personally, as I look at all the policy insanity that's coming out of DC, but CNN, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do because they don't have, you know, the villain that they can attack. They're really going to struggle. Right? They might actually have to talk about policy. Can you believe it? Anyway, I suspect that you will see a lot of Trump supporters rally around him. You will see conservatives in general start to rally around him because they're not going to like, they're going to be disgusted, frankly, by the vitriol that you're going to see from the leftist media, so hungry for ratings, so hungry for clicks. Impeachment by way of a trial is bad for the country. It's also, according to many legal scholars, quite possibly not even constitutional, because the whole idea behind impeachment, as far as it pertains to the Constitution, is that you're trying to remove a president from power. Well, he's already been removed from power. So why exactly are you having the impeachment trial? I mean, that in and of itself, it could wind up going, I would not be surprised to see that one going all the way to the Supreme Court. And fortunately, we do have some conservative justices on there. Nonetheless, you know, Democrats right now, they don't care about anything except somehow trying to tear apart the other side. They talk about unity. Again, it's unity only if you unite with us. This is about submission. This is not unity. So instead of helping the country by teaching respect to all sides, instead, they are, again, going to take the low road. Coming up, Texas ain't having it. Biden wants all these undocumented immigrants to stay put on this side of the border, right there in Texas, USA. And Texas is like, ooh, wait a second, huh? I mean, who's going to pay for that? Coming up next, the first major lawsuit challenging President Biden after this. Has Biden seriously not even been there a week? He hasn't, right? He has not been there a week. And already the states are like, yeah, no way, right? They want no part of this massive overhaul that will give all the power to the federal government. Texas is now suing the Biden administration for ordering a halt to most deportations of undocumented immigrants that illegally came into the country. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton claiming the directive from the Department of Homeland Security violates federal law by failing to seek any input from the state. Paxton also is accusing the administration of failing to enforce immigration laws by granting this blanket amnesty. You know, this is a very interesting case because think about what Texas has to absorb financially, right? When you have all these people coming in and they have to process them, et cetera, they have to house them. It's actually quite a burden to the communities. And yet the federal government is like, deal with it. So Texas is like, yeah, I don't think so. Now, let me quote from the lawsuit. Paxton is writing, on its first day in office, the Biden administration cast aside congressionally enacted immigration laws and suspended the removal of illegal aliens whose removal is compelled by those very laws. This is the complaint. He filed it Friday in a federal court in Victoria, Texas. He goes on, quote, in doing so, it ignored basic constitutional principles and violated its written privilege or written pledge to work cooperatively with the state of Texas to address shared immigration enforcement concerns. Well, that makes sense to me because, again, if you're the state that's absorbing all these people and you have financial liability, then that in and of itself should require the federal government to work with you, right? Because you ought to be able to say, yeah, we're not taking anyone. We don't want people if we can't, you know, figure out how we're going to financially make this work. The suit highlights this clash, right, between Biden's pledge to reverse the efforts of the Trump administration that was trying to clamp down on anyone who was coming here illegally, and Biden's attempt to offer what he wants to offer a path to citizenship for the 11 million undocumented immigrants in the U.S. And that's going to be problematic in that you have this whole incentive thing, right? People are going to be increasingly incentivized to come here because there's this promise of documentation. So there's a lot of challenges, but I go back to the money one, right? And the security one. I think that this gets back to money and security. We need a system that enforces our borders. It basically articulates who we want here. And you know what? I don't have a problem. You're a worker that wants to come here and earn money and you embrace American values. I actually applaud that. I mean, I'm one of these people, and some people may not like it, but look, I recognize that we are all immigrants and we're all here for one reason or another. And I have a lot of empathy for that. And I have a lot of respect for anybody that's willing to come here. But you know what I don't respect is someone who's going to come here and just absorb handouts from the state and from the federal government. That I'm not okay with. And I don't think it's fair that Texas has to absorb so much economically. So I get what Ken Paxton's doing. I get what Texas is doing. And I think they probably have a very good case because this is an example, again, of federal government overreach. Okay, we've got all these new people coming to the country, apparently, because Joe Biden's like, come one, come all, you know, path to citizenship. Oh, and by the way, you're going to get handouts, $400 a week if you're not employed from the federal government, plus free college, free healthcare, free housing, even free rent. They've just allocated $25 billion to pay people's rents. We've got to do something about this. We cannot afford it. So you know what their answer is? I'll just borrow more money for longer periods of time. They want to have 50-year bonds. I get the story next. Our problem is we are losing our edge, right? This country used to really be rooted in some really good values, you know, the importance of family, family structure. Those things are actually, believe it or not, you know, study after study can prove this out, really important to people's overall economic prosperity. I mean, one of the best ways to really ensure a better retirement is to stay married all those years, from both a financial perspective and also an emotional perspective, right? You look at studies of children that go on to four-year institutions, what do they have in common? If for college, that is, what do they have in common? A two-parent family. It's just easier with two people. Look, I know how hard it is to raise children, and to do that on your own is not something that we should be willing to wish on anyone. But there's this whole PC thing going on where, you know, it's not okay to not sort of be championing single parenthood. And there's this PC thing going on where it's somehow okay to just champion getting things because of your skin color or your sex as opposed to your hard work. And I think that that's really kind of the antithesis of the American way. And I think if we're really going to be honest with each other and recognize that if we want to create a society that really is merit-based, then the goal should be to fix the economic lack of opportunity earlier in life. And you do that via better policies, right? You don't do that by giving a bunch of handouts. And you have only to look at the economic history of this country to see how economic handouts, just freebies, have adversely affected populations in this country. So when I start hearing like, okay, they're going to give $25 billion out for rent, I'm like, whoa, you know, free food, free rent, free healthcare. There's such a thing as being there, right? As a government, as an entity to help support the population in times of need. But this is taking it to a whole other level. I mean, they really do, I think, want to put in some kind of basic income. And you know why they want to do this. I mean, like, don't kid yourself, right? Because this is all about power. Ultimately, those with the money control the country. So the more money you give to the federal government, the less the people have, the less say the people have. So the federal government gets to decide everything. You know, everybody's sort of waiting around hoping they get another handout because they've robbed you of the opportunity to survive, right? Economically, they've robbed you of that freedom. And so this is pretty messed up stuff. You know, weird that they shut down the economy, even at times when you look over the summer, when it was easy to eat outside and said they wanted the economy shut down. And now here we are, the highest spike in COVID rates. And you've got Governor Cuomo saying, well, now it's time to open up. I mean, like, that makes sense, right? I mean, if you want to be consistent, I mean, I do think it makes sense. Let me be clear. I've said all along, you need to have an open economy because you need a strong economy to fight this thing. But Governor Cuomo, you know, the timing, if you ask me, is quite peculiar. He's now okay with opening the economy, even though he wasn't when the rates were lower. So really and truly, this is all about their ability to pick the winners and losers. If you do what they say, you have a shot at survival. If you don't do what they say, if you dare to speak differently, forget it. So they have the upper hand right now. They are planning to use it. They're like tightening the screws. They want to get more and more and more and more spending of your money and my money accomplished. And they're going to do that not just because, you know, look, they have the upper hand politically, but they're going to try and cement it politically because now the mayor of D.C. says she expects the Democrat-led Senate and House will both vote in favor of statehood for the District of Columbia and send the bill to President Joe Biden's desk. Well, you know, look, if that's the case, the Democrats are going to pick up another permanent 2 votes. So you know what this is all about. They get the votes, they get the money, they get the power. The rest of America is left with what? Bills. Bills, yeah, because somebody actually has to pay this stuff off. This is why when I look at the market right now, the market is doing really well, okay? And I want to be cautious how I frame this because I do not believe in the fundamentals of this market, which means I believe at some point we are going to see a pullback. We are due increasingly for a correction, but you counter it with the fact that you're going to have all kinds of fake stimulus, both from the Fed, the Federal Reserve, and also from government. And so you have to recognize that there's an inflationary effect going on, right? I don't believe that this is real economic growth. It's not. They don't even need much in the way of economic growth, you know, rig the market, so to speak, right? Because the more money you print, the more dollars one has to invest from around the world in U.S. equities if you're going to actually increase the overall, your exposure. So you look at all these obligations, $25 billion in free rent, $1.9 trillion going to this massive stimulus, this thing. How are they going to pay for it? Oh, suddenly enter from stage left, the 50-year bond. The 50-year bond. So they want to borrow money now for 50 years out. Like right now, the most the federal government can borrow is 30 years. So they want to nearly double that. I mean, hey, guys, why not go for 100? So the 50-year bond basically would put this spending program into supercharge. They would then be able to borrow at these relatively low rates. I mean, I think you'd be crazy for buying these things, but relatively low rates. And so they will be able to spend and spend and spend. And there's nothing really to stop them. There's nothing really to stop them unless we start to see pushback. And I don't know where the Tea Party is. I've been looking for a while. Other than Rand Paul, who believes in some fiscal conservative values, I don't see a whole lot of people saying we can't afford this. So I'm going to repeat it. And I want you right now to go to trishintel.com, sign up for my emails, sign up for the podcast, download this directly right now, subscribe to it. If you would please, because they are trying to shut us down. They don't want me to talk about things like it's insane for them to be borrowing money for the next 50 years, but I'm going to keep saying it because somebody's got to. So do me that favor, go and download it there, and I will see you right back here tomorrow. It's going to be a very big week. Don't miss it.